Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Backyard Labrish. This is Margaret, your Labrish host, and I want to welcome you to our segment this evening. We're just going to be relaxing in the backyard and labrishing about something that I think is very important, and it is intracultural relationships. You know, we have listeners from, I know, different cultures, and folks who grew up in a certain part of the world or part of another island or even parts of America sometimes have different customs, and their culture is sometimes different. And a lot of times just understanding how that culture is can really help to improve relationships between parties. And I want to welcome my co-host now, who is Donna Robinson. Good evening, Donna.
Good evening.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I want to welcome you to the show, my co-host. I want to tell all my listeners that Donna is not Jamaican, but she's a friend of Jamaica and just an inspiration to me and anxious to learn about our culture. And she's such a big support. She keeps me on point. I'm sure that most of you know that I'm a senior citizen, quite senior, but I just have this passion for sharing information from my age when I grew up in Jamaica during the colonial days when things were far different from they are now. I want to confess also that I don't really know much about the culture, the present culture in Jamaica, because I migrated to the States almost 50 years ago. So most of my adult life has been spent here. You know, I've been an American citizen since 1966, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners perhaps weren't even born in 66. Anyway, Donna, welcome to the show.
Donna? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, well, thank you, and I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing more about some of your culture and just the various information and customs and etiquette and just different things about, you know, Jamaican, you know, culture and the differences, I think, in the different types of people and cultures that exist within Jamaica.
Yes, well, you know, actually we're known as a very multicultural society, or we used to be, because, you know, I won't go into the full history today, but initially we had people from all over the world. You know, they got to the island one way or another. Some were slaves, some were indentured servants like the Indians and Chinese. Some were prisoners of war, like we had German prisoners of war during World War II. And as a matter of fact, I remember that very clearly. And I think, I don't know if some of them got their freedom there or they what happened, but I know that some of them stayed over. But even before that, we had Germans and Spanish. But today we're going to talk about sometimes just the little differences in the way people say things, or just even sometimes their body language or a certain term they might use to describe something, or the way they're accustomed to doing something that might be quite different from whatever society they're in or whatever company they're in. And the first thing that come to mind right now is, Donna, I don't know if you remember during the Olympics when Bolt, the Jamaican sprinter, won I think it was the 100 yards. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but his first race. And he sort of, as a matter of fact, he slowed down just before he hit the finish line and, you know, put his hands out or gesticulated. And he was really criticized for the way he showed his exuberance. And there was a lot of talk that it some people perceived it to be disrespectful to the other athletes, which most Jamaicans knew that was not it at all. That was just the way that he was celebrating what he knew had happened, because, you know, he could look back and see that he was way ahead of everybody. And that was just his way. And it was totally misunderstood. Do you remember that, Donna? I don't know if you remember the talk after, there was.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it afterwards. I didn't see. I don't know why, but maybe I wasn't paying attention to the fact that, you know, he was, because I thought, you know, even here in the United States, when a person does a touchdown, they'll do backward flips and do all kinds of different dances. Although that supposedly has been, they find them sometimes, but for the most part, it's just them celebrating that particular moment. I mean, you got to figure your adrenaline's pumping. You've accomplished something really great, and I mean your celebration of that just comes out, you know. And I thought it was kind of interesting when I heard about all of the criticism that was, you know, being put upon him for that particular act, and when in fact he was just celebrating for, you know, Jamaica and for himself and what he had accomplished.
Right. So, you know, that's what I mean by it can be misunderstood if people don't really understand, you know, why certain things happen. And I just want to share one incident that happened to me when I came here in the 50s. And actually, while I was in college, I got a, I don't remember if I was part-time or full-time, but I remember getting a job on Madison Avenue in New York, quite prestigious office. It was Hudson Pulp and Paper, and I was a key punch operator. And I had just recently, you know, it was early when I just got from Jamaica. And in Jamaica, if we had an assignment to do and it was time to go home, and we felt like just finishing it, like for bookkeepers, I know in those days, you know, we had to do everything the hard way. And if we were a penny out, it didn't balance. I mean, no way would you go home until you balance, you know, just because of your own pride. And I remember that there were evenings when everybody in the office that I worked would be packing up to leave. And I'd still be working. And everybody didn't leave me there, you know, but I was not joining in with everybody to get ready to leave. And I noticed that some of the other workers were sort of looking at me strange. And, you know, finally, I think, I don't remember how much longer after that, but I suppose they just couldn't understand it. And one, I remember somebody coming over to me and saying to me, "Are you trying to let us, the rest of us, look bad?" I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, you know, when it's 4:45, it's time to pack up and leave." And I said, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know. You know what I mean? And there it was that it's just a difference in the, I suppose. And they were having a totally different impression of why I was doing what I was doing.
Mm.
So, once I explained to them, well, once I figured out that's what I'm supposed to do, you know, I just did it. I went along with whether I was finished or not. I just cleaned my desk and left. But that's not the culture I was coming from. And they, I mean, it could have turned out into a, you know, bigger thing than it was, but they were really resenting me for that. So I know that a lot of times just understanding why a person behaves or why the behavior does not seem inappropriate to one person can really make a difference. And I just want to tell our callers that's one of the things we hope that our website, Backyard Labrish in the Backyard, will be able to help. You know, people who might have a question about an intercultural relationship as it relates to perhaps a coworker or a boss or a, you know, or a, someone that they have an intimate relationship with, because sometimes the customs of one country that is acceptable there is inappropriate for somewhere else. So we know that our backyard is going to be very helpful in that area. Donna?
Yeah, well, you know, when you think about, you know, and I'm just going to throw this out there, but it was kind of interesting. The other day I was talking to my mother-in-law, and I was telling her that I was going to be getting on a call with you and what it was going to be about, and I tell her, you know, about Jamaica. And she says, well, why would she do something on Jamaica? I said, because she's from Jamaica. She says, she is. I said, yeah. I said, don't you remember the tea we went to? I mean, everybody there was from Jamaica. She says, they were? She says, well, I thought that Jamaicans look different.
Isn't that something?
She says, I thought that, you know, the men would have had these dreadlocks.
So that brings us to the stereotype.
she says, so, you know, you always think when you think of Jamaicans, you think, well, they're probably going to have some of that, you know, marijuana somewhere or, you
ooh,
know.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, I have another story to share with our listeners. In the 70s, I have three children who were all born here in the States. My baby, really, was born in 1970. And I went back home to Jamaica because at that time, you know, I was going through a lot of emotional things and the Vietnam War was on and just, you know, my homeland was calling me home. So I went back to Jamaica to really establish my life again. I stayed 3 years there, and then I came back to Miami. And I lived in Miami until I moved here to Atlanta, Georgia. Well, during that time, my daughter, when I brought her back to the States, she must have been 3. And as she was growing up, she was involved in I think it was called a princess club or Indian princess club, where the fathers would be involved with the daughters, and they would have like a meeting at each one of the little girls' home at different times. And she had this little girlfriend who I think wanted to either come over or sleep over. I can't remember. It's been a long time. And I remember that child's father calling me up on the phone to ask me if said he knew I'm from Jamaica and he wanted to know if I smoke marijuana. I said, what? I mean, I was mortified because, you know, when I grew up in Jamaica, I know how it smells because in those days, the Rastafarians, you know, it's part of their culture that they do it for religion, or they, in those days, they did it for religious purposes. So when they lived mostly in a rural part of Kingston. And when they came into the city, you know, you could almost always smell it on them or from afar. If someone was smoking it, you would smell it. But I'd never, ever seen it in my life. I'd never seen it all the time I lived in Jamaica. So for him to ask me that, I was very insulted. I really was quite insulted. But of course I did not, you know, show him that I was. I was really hurt. But then I said to him, oh, no, you know, we don't do that in our house. And that's when he said to me, you know, I apologize. I didn't know. I thought all Jamaicans smoked marijuana. So you know, it's a stereotype, you know, because they perhaps see it in a movie or hear about it or, you know, it goes wild there. But it doesn't say that every Jamaican, a lot of Jamaicans don't even know what it looks like.
But it just kind of shows you how, again, you know, stereotypes are out there of the customs that you would think of Jamaicans, that this is a part of their lifestyle or that's a part of their culture, and when reality it's not. It's something that, you know, just a certain percentage of people participate in. And just the idea that all Jamaicans are, you know, just, you know, one of the things that she said that was kind of interesting was, she said, well, so is she a Christian? And I said, yes.
Honestly?
Because, again, they're thinking that, you know, that there's spiritual cults and things like that in your culture, you know, like voodoo and, you know.
Mm.
And I said, yeah, well, yeah, they have, you know, they're Christian. There's Christians there and you know, there's you know, just like in America, Protestants and Catholics and, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. I said, and I said, but I'm, you know, I said, sure, just like every place though, there's some people that might participate in some spiritual cults or something, but I don't think that that's like the norm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, that's why you know, just sharing information about your culture is very important. And that's why I think that our listeners and callers are going to really appreciate what we're doing, Donna, to enlighten and educate and share. And I'm inviting my peers to call in and give their comments and share their stories with us, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to leave some footprints of the stories of when we grew up. Because like the rest of the world, you know, all over the world, the culture is changing. Some places, their culture is retained more than others. But I remember years ago, I had a young friend who came from Nigeria and then went back to Nigeria after it was sort of safe politically. And he was, I don't remember how long he was away for, but he used to call me on the phone and tell me that he's just appalled at the difference in, you know, a lot of the people as opposed to when he was there before. Because I remember him telling me that, you know, a lot of the places where they didn't really even have modern equipment and things, they had a satellite and a TV, and the favorite show in some of the villages was Jerry Springer. And he was just appalled that of all the shows that they would have, that would be their favorite. Isn't that something?
Yeah, really.
And he talked a lot about how the culture had changed, you know, some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was such a difference from when he grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that, you know, it's happening all over the world. But, you know, when you're in a small country like Jamaica, it doesn't seem small to you when you're there growing up, because people from one side of the island in my days, when we didn't have, you know, internet, we didn't even have TVs and not a lot of transportation, not a lot of cars. I grew up in the, you know, I was born in the 30s and grew up in the 40s and left Jamaica in the 50s. So things were a lot different than they are now, and communication was not as modern as it is now. So, you know, we didn't know a lot of things that were happening outside of our neighborhoods, you know, our cities, I would say, because people in Kingston did certain things that were different from people in Savlamar, and they had different celebrations in you know, that part of the island than they had in Kingston. So although it's a small country, it seemed quite large to us. Or, you know, when you're, well, just like kids, you know, everything looked large to them. But, you know, we did not necessarily know or participated in everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. So that's the way, you know, it is. Now, you take, now, in a bigger country, even the cities are bigger. You know, Jamaica is less than 150 miles long. Did you know that, Donna?
No, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. I think it's 146 or I don't know the, I cannot remember the exact figure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a tiny island. If you
wow.
look on the map, it's just a dot. Actually, but you know, we travel in the old days from one end of the island could take you hours. And I know in the old days when we didn't have a lot of cars, we would go by the train or the diesel, it was called. You know, the train took more of the people who had products that they would be selling from one city to another. But the diesel had more just passengers that were going, you know, getting from Kingston to another destination. But it's quite interesting. And I personally happen to know that I have known some of my friends that have had, you know, a relationship, married or, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend from another culture, that sometimes it takes a little understanding, especially for women that are perhaps married to or friendly with a Jamaican man, because, and then they move to Jamaica, things are sort of different. You know, what is, it would be the norm there would not be necessarily, would, might be a little offensive here. But it's just our customs. So it's quite interesting to me. Quite interesting.
Well,
and, I am really surprised that your mother-in-law had that impression. And
well, I think that again, it's about what you see on television. Even you know, she says, "Well, you know, I would have thought that she would have spoke a little differently."
Mm,
you know,
good point.
You understand what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
when you, especially, like, if right now, if I go on the television and I type in Jamaican or reggae music, you know, the way that they're going to be talking is going to be totally different than how you talk. And so, and when we see a number of people on television that are talking, they're using, I'm not exactly sure of the, I think it's, is it Patois?
You got it, Patois.
That's why
mm-hmm.
using you know, that type of language as opposed to formal English.
Yeah, well, you know, we were the older Jamaicans before independence were brought up under the British educational system, and in most cases, especially in the early years, we had English teachers. You know, most of our teachers and instructors were from England. And I remember so we learned what we call the Queen's English. And most Jamaicans, almost every Jamaican, know how to speak some form of patois. And it's, you know, it's spoken a different way in different parts of the island. So, you know, people on one side might say a word different from people on the other side. But you could understand them. But we didn't communicate in patois in my days. As a matter of fact, your parents would you know, sort of correct you if you were speaking like that. But no, it seems to be the norm for everybody to speak that way. But it wasn't that like that in the old days at all. And I have been into situations where people ask me, you know, how come I don't speak the language? Well, it was not considered a language when I was growing up.
Well, also, I mean, I guess my question is I thought that, I personally thought that Jamaican women, that, you know, men were more dominant, and that, but it seemed that there's like a, especially when you talk about your education when you were younger, I mean, I think about, I'm saying, wow, I mean, she was encouraged to, even after she got married, to continue her formal education, get her degree and go to, you know, study in New York. And I just would have, you know, thought differently, but it seems that your culture promoted that. Is that true?
Oh, yes. In the old days, you know, it was, education was the most important thing. I mean, and our education started early because, you know, that's one of the reasons I took my children back home in 1970, because I wanted them to have that basic education, which the system, the whole system was, I don't know what it is now, but it was, you know, a different system from how kids are taught here, or were taught here in the United States. And we start very early, you know, in learning. We don't, in those days, we didn't do a lot of art and phonics and things like that. We learned our ABCs and our times table and, you know, things like that. So it was totally different. And we spoke the Queen's English because we had to talk a lot. There were a lot of foreigners in Jamaica at one time or another. You know, they come as consultants or different things. So we interact with a lot of people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sort of different. And, it, you know, in those days, we didn't have telephones. I mean, we had one radio station. So, and that radio station. And another thing I remember when I was growing up, the radio station played all different types of music. As a matter of fact, country music used to be very popular in Jamaica. You know, that a lot of country songs that were played on the radio, and we knew them. We didn't just know calypso or reggae. And reggae is fairly new. You know, the older people, reggae was not, it was calypso in those days. It really sort of started out with what we call mento, which is sort of similar to calypso. It's the same basic beat. But we had Spanish music. We did, you know, waltz. We did classical music. We did ballet. I mean, people just think that all we did was play reggae. But that was not the way it was. That's the way it was at all. Yeah, I think we were musically, we've always been very, very musical. You know, I think when I was, I came here first, I actually took a course and learned a lot more about why we were so musical. And it really made sense to me. But one of the things I learned is that the slaves that were taken to, I suppose, all the islands, but especially Jamaica, that the owners did not take away their drums. They did not strip them, you know, of their ornaments. That's why in the old days in Jamaica, people wore a lot of bangles, you know, on their arms. And they even, I think at one time we had ankle bracelets too. I didn't have, but, you know, it was common to see that. But I remember when I came up here, you know, I had like 4 or 5 bangles on my hands. And you hardly saw any Americans wearing that. But that was because another thing that was strange to me when I came here is I would hear people talking about, you know, like this family has a son and he's like 25 and he's still living at home, and that was sort of looked down on. And I was appalled because it was the opposite where I came from. Regardless of whether you're a boy or a girl, you live in your parents' house until you get married. That's when you leave. So whereas it was looked down on here, in those days, you know, that was the thing to do. And I didn't know anybody that wasn't married that didn't live with their parents, regardless of how old they were. So I was like in cyberspace. You know, I was in a lot of zone. I couldn't figure out what they were talking about. And they were talking down about that person. And I said, wow, it was strange. There's just, you know, a difference in the way people lived and the culture. I don't know if it's the same now. I know very little about what's going on there now, to be very honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I know how it was when I was growing up. Everybody stayed home until they got married. Once you get married, now you get out and get your own place. But not before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it seems that, you know, the family was more kind of like how my family was in the country, very close-knit. It was a web, not just of your mother and father, but your uncles and your aunts and cousins, and your family was there to provide emotional and economic support for you until such time as you were able to, you know, become emancipated, get married, and move out on your own.
Right.
And the family was the most important group that a person belonged to.
Yes. That's the way it was in Jamaica, too. And then we had lots of extended families. It might have been the same in the country here, but, you know, everybody was your aunt. You were not allowed to call anybody like an adult by their first name. And like the friends of your parents or your, you know, are your aunts. You know, you call them aunt this or uncle that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if it's a total stranger, you say Mr. or Miss. But
right.
You had a lot of aunts who were not really truly aunts and uncles, too. Was that the way it was in the country?
Yeah, pretty much, because I was telling someone I didn't realize until many years I was an adult, had gotten married, moved on. I came back to the country, and I didn't realize that some of the people that I thought were my aunts and uncles, we weren't even related, but they were friends of my grandmother, my father, and they were just an extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And people that you would, you know, sit down and eat dinner with on, you know, if you're there, you sit down and eat dinner if it's dinner time. And it was just, I think that's something that we've gotten away from here, and especially as you move towards the city, people are more just on their own and not, you know, as close-knit.
Right. Now, another thing that I remember being strange to me and I got in trouble for quite a few times is that, you know, I suppose in the old days, and because the island was so small and we didn't have phones, I mean, you don't call anybody to tell them you're coming over. You just go.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what they're doing, you would be entertained. You know, if a family was just about to eat, then they would invite you to the table. If there was not enough food, everybody at the table would share part of what they were eating to make you a plate. You know, that was customary. So I remember that I had this friend who married an American young lady and took her down to Jamaica. You know, she sort of went down shortly after. And I was still in touch with her. And she would tell me how very uncomfortable she was. You know, she just was totally stressed out. And when I finally got down there and got into details of what was causing all this stress, I found out it's just because she didn't really understand the culture at all. because she would complain about things like, you know, the people just, his people just show up. They just show up at the door. And, well, we don't have doorbells down there, but they just come, you know. They don't say they're coming, and they will just make themselves comfortable when they come. They'll come in her kitchen and open up the pot and ask her what she's cooking today, or, you know, just expect for her to feed them. And she really thought that they were being out of place. So now she didn't feel comfortable to discuss it with her husband. But I told her, I said, well, you know, that is normal for us. They don't mean to intrude. That's just the way it is. And it's the same way if you go over to their house, you could do the same thing. It's just a custom. So a lot of times, as I said, if you don't understand why a person is behaving the way they are, it can cause a lot of stress. I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish, and we're here every Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock, just catching up on sharing some of our good, rich Jamaican culture with the world. We're hoping that we'll have a lot more people tuning in. Right now, I see that we have some people listening online. And pretty soon, you'll be invited to our website, which will be the same, www.backyardlabrish.com. And there we will have a lot of fun in the backyard, because part of what we will have in our community is a social networking section that will be similar to Facebook or MySpace, so we can have forums. We will have forums, and we're going to be having a lot of fun in the backyard. But it's a place for Jamaicans and friends of Jamaicans and Jamericans and Jabrits and everybody that is interested in learning about the rich culture of Jamaica. We invite them to come by and visit us. We invite you to come by and listen to us or participate with us on our Labrish once a week on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And our call-in number, Donna, do you have our call-in number there with you?
No, I don't have it with me on hand. I can get it. I should. The one that you is 718-766-4558.
Okay, 718-266?
No, 766.
766. 4558. Yes, I have it right here in front of me, Donna. Thank you. That's what happened with passionate seniors. We get so caught up in what we're saying that we're not looking at the right place. I want to invite all my senior buddies to get over the hang-up with all these techie things. It's not as hard as it seems, and you need to try it because it's very, very interesting. So I would like to let you know that you're welcomed, and if you have any questions or want to learn something, we don't only have the senior me, but we have some young folks like Donna that can help to bring you up to date with what's happening in cyberspace. Right, Donna?
Yes.
Okay. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot more of our seniors coming to leave their footprints, because the whole idea behind this community, actually, as I say, is to share stories. Next week, we're hoping to have a very special guest who will share a story about their the culture from their part of the island. And every week we're going to be sharing with you things that you might want to know. And we invite you to send your questions. If there's something you'd like us to talk about, you can send us a question or a comment at backyardlabrish.com. If you go there, there's a place that you can make a comment, or you can email us at backyardlabrish@yahoo.com. Donna?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about this. I noticed that I've gone to a number of events, and it seems that particularly when the women know each other, that one of the, I guess it's like a custom, is for them to kind of touch their, you know, cheek to each other in a greeting. And it seems like they start with the right cheek and then they go to the left cheek. And so is that just a general custom?
Actually, most of us are really huggers. We're very physical in that we're touchy-touchy, as we would say. Jamaicans would know what I mean by that. And, you know, I remember stories as you asked me a question, Donna. I remember years ago, I have a lot of American friends. I've been here so long. But I visited with one of my American friends in Ohio, and she invited me to a very special affair. I think it was a sorority, very formal affair. And that evening, I happened to be with a couple that were her friends. You know, they were part of the party. And, you know, I'm a touchy person. I mean, not in a personal way, but because of my culture, I think, you know, I tend to hug everybody and stand close to them and things like that. So this couple, the gentleman of the couple was wearing a very dashing suit. I think he had it was a white jacket and a black pants, and he really looked dashing. So I started off telling him how debonair he looked, not knowing that perhaps, you know, since I just met him, I wasn't supposed to say that. But anyway, as the evening wore on, and I was seated beside him, and after I found out what I was doing wrong, I really admitted that I was, you know, I'd be talking and I would touch his hand or touch his shoulder, because we do that. And by the time we were finished that evening, I remember the girlfriend that I was visiting was very stressed, and I asked her what was wrong. And she told me that her friends thought I was hitting on her husband. And I was just so shocked, because I was just being myself. You know, and in those days, I was happily married, and I had a real hunk of a husband. So I was not really searching, and I was not, it was not, you know, I was just being myself. So to answer your question, we're very touchy. We hug and we, you know, some people might do the cheek to cheek. I'm not really quite familiar with it. But, you know, we love to kiss.
Yep.
We do. And we love to hug. We really do. And as soon as we get to know you, every time we meet, we might hug you. So don't be surprised.
Uh-oh.
You know, same way, you know, that we dance close. When there's a slow tune, you don't have to be dancing with your husband or your boyfriend. You know, if we're dancing with someone from the opposite sex and the music is slow, we will dance close. It's not that we're coming on to the person. I mean, I'm sure that happens too. You know what I mean? But in the old days now, there are not a lot of dancing where you really dance close. But in the old days, in Jamaica, when the slow tunes came on, we would call it rent-a-tile time, because we had what we called terrazzo tiles, and they were like big squares, you know, like the 12 by 12, not
right.
The tiny tiles. And we could just dance on that one tile. Honestly, just dance on the one tile, because I think basically, we tend to be sort of very emotional and passionate people. So you can just be totally relaxed, enjoying that tune, dancing with someone who's not really your boyfriend, but you're thinking of your boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a sexual venture that are, you know, you're going after anybody. It can be just, it's just the way we dance. So it's quite interesting to know what is acceptable and what isn't, you know, as you move from culture to culture.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, also I was just thinking about, I remember watching television, and there was this commercial about some type of rum or something, and the guy is wondering why everybody's in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get there. We'll get there. Don't you know? But there were people that were like in pain, and so it was almost as though, again, maybe it's a stereotype, but it's almost to say that, you know, Jamaicans do everything in their own time as opposed to being, you know, like punctual or, you know.
Well, you know what our famous thing is, soon come. That means, you know, no problem, man. Soon come. You know, we're not, I don't know about now, but we never used to be a hurried country. You know, we don't hurry and dash around like it is the norm in, you know, say New York or so. You know, we're a lot more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
And soon could mean, you know, could mean tomorrow. It don't mean that it's very soon necessarily. So it's really, we're really very laid back. No problem, man. That's the famous word. No problem, man. And one of these days, Donna, you just have to visit Jamaica. It's just a beautiful place to visit. And we have such, you know, I've been to, you know, several parts of the United States and a few countries. And once you've seen the beaches in Jamaica, especially the north coast, because that's where you have the most beautiful white sand beaches, it's hard to appreciate. Well, you appreciate everything, but, you know, like when you go to Destin or the other places in Florida, it just doesn't compare. And, you know, we are surrounded by the Caribbean Sea, which I think is perhaps the colors might be different. And because we are surrounded by coral reefs, I think it gives different shades of blue to the water. You know what I mean? Because of the coral that surrounds the island. And Donna, I don't know if you're familiar with this. Do you know that we have never had a shark sighting that I know of in Jamaica?
No,
I heard about sharks.
I didn't know that. I mean, there are sharks out there, right?
There are sharks out in the water, but I don't think they can come in because of the coral reefs that surround the island. We've never had a shark attack that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's safer. We have parts of the island where you can, it seems like you can walk out in the water for half a mile. I'm sure it's not that much, but you know, like in Negril, which is shaped like a half moon. It's just, you can walk out on the water. It's crystal clear. You can see the little fishes swimming around as you walk out, and the water is warm. And it's just absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So,
one thing that I noticed when I was sitting down with you and I was eating was that you actually hold your fork with your left hand and your knife with your right hand, and you eat.
Well, that's the British way. We were taught when we were growing up that you eat with a knife and fork. It's only since I've been Americanized that I will eat with a fork alone. Here you cut with your knife, put the knife down, and eat with your fork.
Right.
Not in Jamaica. Or it wasn't that way in the old days.
Mm.
You ate with your knife and fork together. You use your knife to balance the thing on the fork, and then you put the fork in your mouth. You know, put down the knife. So it's interesting, very, very interesting. But, you know, a lot of that is from the British, you know, how the British customs and how they do things. Because our, you know, that was the culture we were brought up under had a lot of British influence, a lot, along with, you know, Indian influence, Chinese influence, and all of those things sort of influenced our foods and the different spices that were used. Because I'll tell you that the Chinese restaurants or the Chinese food in Jamaica is tastes totally different from the Chinese food you get here. Totally different. Because originally we had Chinese who migrated to the island directly from mainland China. You know, and you know, Hong Kong was owned by the British for 99 years. They just got released a few years ago, I think. So we traded. We had a lot of Chinese influence, not only with the people, but with products. We could get products from China. When America was not trading with China, there was one particular item that I remember I grew up on, which is Tiger Balm. And that was from China. And that it would be similar to Vicks Vapor Rub or something like that, but it's a lot stronger. And we use it for, you know, similar things when you get in a cold or when you have aches and pains and just things like that. But we had a lot of influence from the Orient. So it's really, really interesting. But I don't know if other Jamaicans feel the same way, but I know that the food you get in Jamaica, the Chinese food you get in Jamaica, I've never tasted it any part of America. And I've been to California, you know, to San Francisco, to Chinatown in New York, different places, but it's just not the same. I think it's a mix of, you know, the way they cook, but with all the spices and the natural things that grow there, it just makes the food different. And they have a couple of recipes that are really different, very different. But
just kind of generally thinking, the makeup, ethnic makeup of Jamaica was during your time, because now my understanding is that it's pretty much like 90% black, you know, maybe, you know, 2% Chinese, not even 2%, like 0.2, you know, percent Chinese and 0.2% white and maybe 1% East Indian, but, and maybe 7% mixed, but predominantly 91% is black there now. So what was it different, the ethnic makeup during when you were coming up?
It definitely was. There was always, you know, and we had a lot of people who, you know, we didn't have categories when I was growing up. As a matter of fact, I did not know how to fill up the forms when I came here, because in our country, if I remember, they would ask your nationality, but never your race. You know, there was never any question that I remember having to answer in Jamaica on any forms that would ask for your race, because most people couldn't define that, because we have Indians that were married to Chinese, and, you know, a child from that union, you know, might look Chinese or they might look Indian. They might look like neither of them, because, you know, it was just a mix. We have quite a few Jews out there. We have people from Lebanon. We have people from all over the world, England, Ireland, Scotland, Germany. Just, it was a real multiracial society. And there was more of a, I would say, a class prejudice than a color prejudice. Of course, you know, there predominantly you had people of a darker color. You had very black. In one family, you could have someone who is very, very dark and someone who is very, very fair. We have a lot of that. And we had people from different parts of the island, like, say, now that I know more about, you know, the history and how people came there, I realize why, like, the north part of the island, especially in St. Elizabeth, where, you know, ships could come in and people would just settle in that area. You might have people that are very light and not necessarily very white, but they will have gray eyes or blue eyes. We have some people that have one blue eye and one green eye or one brown eye. And you have people who are very light with brown hair, and you have people who are dark with straight hair. I mean, it was just a mix, quite a melting pot of people. But, you know, we were just people. And we didn't have to, in those days, write down on a form what you were. It's not until a lot of us came here that we were asked that question, you know, about your race. So it was not really a thing of race there, because, you know, there's a lot of mixed up. Art used to be a lot of mixed up. But we had a lot more, I would say, white people or people of fairer skin in the old days than we have now, because a lot of them have migrated, you know. And in one family, as I say, you would have all the colors of the rainbow, all the colors of the rainbow. And you remember that, I think in Mrs. Manley's book, she talked about that too, you know, about her sisters being a different shade than she was. And anyways, it's very interesting. I remember our guest the last time talked about people asking him if being surprised that he's a Jamaican because he looks like them, you know, white, but he's a Jamaican. So it's interesting to see a Chinese who would speak Jamaican. And you would not believe they are from Jamaica if you don't hear them talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's quite something, really. But now I think that, as you say, there's a greater amount of people that are, you know, dark. They're still Jamaicans. I don't know if they consider themselves like a lot of Americans here consider themselves Afro-American. I'm not familiar with what they really call themselves. I think they just call themselves Jamaicans, regardless of what color they are. They're still Jamaicans.
Well, one of the things that I learned about, particularly you, is that you're pretty direct. And is that something that's customary in Jamaica? As you know, I think that as Americans, we can be kind of sensitive at times.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily. You know, we're all different. But I will tell you that we're not as sensitive as I think that some Americans tend to be. For instance, if you're with friends and they ask your opinion of what they're wearing or so, you will tell them, you know, that don't look good, or, you know, you should change that or something. They wouldn't be insulted. And I got a different impression when I came here, that people would just tell people they look great, even if they didn't. You know what I mean? Because they wouldn't want to hurt their feelings. We tend to be a lot more direct, or we used to be. You know, oh, please, honey, that don't look good. You know what I mean? And it's okay. We have just a few seconds left, Donna, but I want to share with you that we would expect our friends to tell us that we don't look good, and it's okay. So we're not as sensitive, I think, than as the most of us are not as sensitive as the average, as most Americans are. I found that out when I came here years ago. And I think we are, and we tend to have friends for a long time. You know, I suppose because the island is small, and we tend to keep our friends for as long as we live. I have friends that I've known since I was 7, you know, and 10. Anyway, I wanted to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish, and we're sharing with you some of our customs in Jamaica, and we welcome you to come back with us. And we're going to be signing off now, so bye, and we'll see you next week. Donna, will you want to say bye-bye to our listeners?
Bye-bye, and remember, out of many, one people.
You got that right, honey. So we'll be back next week. No problem, man. Bye.